they cross over. They win a championship. That's guys that have reached the NBA finals at his age, guys that have reached the conference finals at his age, this young, usually either win or they're guys that are good players throughout their career but don't become number one guys on the championship team. So with Jason Tatum, for me, the stance is very simple. He's a tremendous player. He's just not a number one player for a championship winning team. And, you know, it's just that simple to me. His playoff resume suggests that there should be very little discussion there, but Theo sees otherwise. So I'm going to give the floor to you first.
Yes, Kwame, I appreciate you and your audience giving me the platform. Kwame, consider that. I appreciate you doing the stats. I usually try to be non-stats based, but you're looking at a young man in this season, has led his team to 57 wins, number one in the NBA. You're looking at a young man also who has still raised his game, even though you think he's plateaued. He's still improved his shot selection every year. He's shooting 47% from the field, almost career highs in free throw and three-point percentage, eight rebounds a game, almost five assists. You know, we know he's one of the prolific scorers in the NBA. I always leave that out as a caveat. We know he's one of the top 10 scorers in the league, probably. What I'm saying in his defense, Kwame, is that in his first year, without your buddy, Kyrie Irving, without the highest paid player in the NBA, Gordon Hayward, he and the young Jaylen Brown led their team to Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals. They pushed LeBron James without the two highest paid players on the team. No other superstar in his position, Kwame, has had three head coaches in 5 years. Brad Stevens, David Nuku, and the gentleman now, Mazzulla. Even though Mazzulla has probably proven us both wrong, right, Kwame? We both were not sure of this hire. You know, during the offseason, we thought the ship was sinking.
He's on third base. Mm-hmm. He's on third base. He started with a great roster. I'm going to let you finish, but yeah, I'm still not.
And to use your own point that you used back in the summer, no other franchise or no player that I can think of his age and his demographic, you know, that 25 and under or barely over, has had, you know, players like Marcus Smart, Malcolm Brogdon, his veterans, Al Horford, all stripped from him for no reason. You know, and Robert Williams is let go. You got Grant Williams. So all the key pieces that were built around him, and that Danny Ainge had built, even your guy that you told us was going to be an all-star. Remember Peyton Pritchard? You said he'd be an all-star soon. Yeah. That's never happened. So we've had that.
I still get text messages about that.
And we're still looking for Malachi Flynn, too. We're looking for him on a milk carton. But, you know, outside of that, all I'm saying is that no other superstar in comparison with him, if we're using that right criteria during his time in the NBA, has had three different head coaches, has had a GM who was able to rebuild that roster, pushed out, and the core pieces taken away from him, while still he has improved his game each year.
All right, so let's start with the conference finals. You mentioned that he pushed LeBron. Great point. Pushed LeBron. They beat the Washington Wizards, a team I was very, very high on at that time with John Wall and Bradley Beal. I think Isaiah Thomas was on that team.
Sure, absolutely.
Great team. What happened since then? He's been back to the conference finals.
He got them to the NBA finals. Yeah, Kwame, come on now.
The NBA finals appearance, we can do that, but let's just start with the conference finals. He is a recurring member to the conference finals. I get that. This is not a discussion if he is a recurring member or not. Because when you look at who he's competing against, an offensive center in Philadelphia. A transcendent talent in Milwaukee.
Absolutely.
Inferior lineup.
Absolutely.
And whatever's going on in Brooklyn, we just heard a story about them turning down the trade that would have sent them Jalen Green for Mikal Bridges. So, you know, we can just say that Brooklyn is a mess. Let's just say that Brooklyn's a mess. The city and the team. That's who he's competing against. So, yes, he's going to be the stability of having a Jaylen Brown, always a sidekick right there. They're the third member of their could be Porzingis, could be Marcus Smart. And I'll get into the Marcus Smart situation later on. But they still have Al. They still have quality, better leadership. He still plays for a franchise that is a staple in professional sports, known for winning. All right? So I'm not going to say, okay, him going to the conference finals is some sort of achievement. That should be expected. He's got stability and a tremendous franchise. The reason why he's played for so many coaches is because he keeps coming up short. They lost Brad Stevens because they had a horrible year. Did they not? Is that not why Brad Stevens was pushed? pushed to the front office.
I think that was a lot
on.
I think that was a lot on Brad Stevens' coaching strategy.
Okay, you can say it was Brad Stevens' coaching strategy. That's fine. You can say that, but that's why Brad Stevens got fired. That was the same Brad Stevens that led them to the Eastern Conference Finals that you just gave him credit for. But we'll dismiss that. Then they bring in. Then they bring Ime Udoka. I was very high on him. Disappointed on how things ended. That's a story for another day. Bottom line is, though, the reason why he was fired was not basketball related. Was not performance related. So to say that he somehow overcame another head coach, when the fact of the matter is it was the organization that decided to move on from that coach, the team remained the same. And they had just lost an NBA Finals. They bring in Mazzulla. Now, you don't want to give Mazzulla blame for what happened last year, but you want to give him credit for this year. Fine, was playing that arena. Let's look at it this way. Last year, they lost to an A-C Miami team. Am I right, or was it 9th seed?
Seeding's not everything. Seeding's not everything. No, that we don't go by seedings. We go by experience. You got a team that's been to two NBA finals in the last 5 years.
Right.
So seeding numbers not everything. Aaliyah said age is just a number.
How many wins did Miami have when they lost?
It's the regular season. It's the regular season.
How many regular season wins? They're 44.
Okay.
44. So they lost to a barely mediocre, barely 500 team, because 82 games a season. So they were 2 games above 500.
How many injuries did they have during that season, Kwame, that led to that record? How many key players are they missing all season? How many games did Bam Adebayo miss? Half the year?
Okay.
Bam Adebayo missed half the season? Okay.
He so he had fresh legs. He's going to go from season. What happened in the bubble when Bam blocked Jason at the rim? When Boston was the higher seed? Hey.
It was a tremendous play, and Jason Tatum still had an excellent series.
Okay. So what happened in the NBA Finals when they lose and he gets outplayed by Andrew Wiggins?
That's true. A motivated Andrew Wiggins.
That's true. Okay.
No, that's a great point.
I was still this analogy. Shout out to Nick Wright. He's a great analogy, and I'm going to steal it. Jason Tatum is often put in a garage full of Rolls Royces, Maseratis, and Bugattis.
Ooh.
Right? And he's giving you Acura Legend results. He's not giving you the same results as the Rolls Royces. He's not giving you the same results.
Who are those Rolls Royces you're comparing him to? Or who was Nick Wright comparing him to, for criteria's sake? Who is he being compared to? So that's another analogy from Nick Wright that makes absolutely no sense. So
that makes no sense. Okay, you're saying that Jason Tatum is a top 5 player.
I'm just saying, what is the criteria to these and that analogy to who is he getting? Because it makes no sense to compare him to LeBron and Steph. Compare him to players his age and who has had success.
Because
I tell you, Kwame, Luka Doncic hasn't had this success. The players around the league that people try to elevate have not led their team to NBA Finals.
So
Devin Booker
to Luka,
being another one.
Jason Tatum, you're saying that Jason Tatum, or the conversation stemmed from Jason Tatum wondering why he's not an MVP candidate.
He is.
Because you're not an MVP caliber player. He is if you're adding 12 players.
If you're the best player on the team that's got the best record in the NBA, you are MVP conversation.
Okay. So he's the best player. I would argue the guy that goes 5-13 against the defending champion is not the best player. He's a stat.
What time of year was that game? When was that game? In December?
The scoring average is going down 3 points by his team as it continues to ascend by the guy that's supposed to be categorized as best.
And his assists have went up and turnovers went down. And he's playing better team
his
ball.
Assists going up,
and his turnovers went down. So that means he's evolving as a playmaker.
You want to say he's evolving as a playmaker? I would say he's giving the ball to the better player. And Mazzulla has decided that maybe Jaylen Brown is the guy that this offense needs to go through. See, the thing about Jason Tatum is this. You can't have it both ways. You can't say he's the best player on the best team, but he's falling short at those critical moments, and the other players aren't. See, when he goes 5-13 and Jaylen Brown gets 30-plus, it's never, well, Jaylen Brown is the guy that the offense needs to go around, needs to build the offense around. When the team tends to get better and Jason Tatum's numbers go down, it's well, his assists are going up. His assists are going up because he's got better players around him. Why do they have better players around him?
Can I get your perspective, Kwame? Do you feel like this roster constructed right now is better than the team that went to the finals with him against Golden State?
No.
Okay.
Shut it out.
Okay.
Shut it out. But and let me, can I, I'm going to answer that question to you in full context. I wanted to answer directly. I'm going to provide context here. The reason why is this. Drew Holiday, former Sixer, big fan of Drew Holiday. Marcus Smart was a defensive player.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everyone tells me how great of a defensive player Drew Holiday is. And he is a good one. But Marcus was a defensive player. Here. So it's not like, you know, it's not like they were losing much on the defensive end. That's the first thing. Playing alongside Giannis, Drew really got a lot more, shall we say, acclaim. Sure. That made me the achievement yield. When he was with Anthony Davis, and I want to say,
Rajon Rondo, those guys.
When he was with Anthony Davis, he was not getting to the NBA final. He was not, you know. And the last time we saw this great defensive juggernaut, and again, I'm not trying to slight Drew Holiday. This is not an attempt to belittle Drew Holiday. This is just an attempt to explain reason or give logic to why I don't think this team is better. Jimmy Butler lit Drew Holiday up. Lit him up. And you can say it was the team. You can say it was uniforms. You can say it was the shoe cushions. You can say it was the nachos. But a lot is, he lit him up. Jimmy Butler became a household name off the back of Drew Holiday and off the shoulders of Jason Tatum. So now you say, okay, we're going to add Drew Holiday, so that makes it better. Fine. Porzingis is a guy that eventually falls short. Not just in the playoffs, but in critical moments. He's hurt for whatever reason. You know, and I deal with this argument with Embiid. People want to argue the cause. I don't care that Embiid is hurt all the time. It's the result that I have an issue with. And the result is because he's hurt all the time. I don't care that Porzingis is putting up numbers in March, January, February. I care that come April, he ain't there.
Right. Because we saw him put up numbers in Dallas, and then he came up short in the playoffs with Luka.
Exactly.
He was averaging 20-8, you know, 22-8, yeah.
New York wasn't an aberration to New York. It wasn't a misstep in Dallas, you know, and it wasn't I forgot you in Washington. This is who this dude is. So, no, what I think right now is they are an offensive team that plays with tremendous continuity. And Porzingis is playing in a pressure-free environment. Jason Tatum, if he's not playing against the Philadelphia 76ers, struggles. Struggles. And, you know, the numbers, you can point to numbers. I want to say, you can check this for me. I want to say the numbers are about 26 in the playoffs and 26 in the regular season. I think this year's at
that's close, yeah. Yeah, that is pretty close, yeah.
So the numbers don't change. It's kind of like that Markel Fultz thing. Whether the competition is tremendous or the competition is subpar, the numbers remain the same. And then when it gets nip and tuck time and you need him to deliver, that's when the numbers always fall short. He made a comment about the NBA Finals, about people still living off the NBA Finals. And it wasn't so much that people are living off of them. It's the fact that that was your moment to dance. That's when the spotlight was on. And you had two left feet. Now, what are we supposed to do, Jason? What are we supposed to do? Yes, you have the best record in an Eastern Conference where the number three seed is the Cleveland Cavaliers, and the number two seed is on their second head coach, and they made a major trade an hour before the season started. You're damn right you should be number one seed.
That's right.
You're playing with the same dudes. You're driving the same car parking in the same spots. Nothing's new for you. But the finish line hasn't changed, and he's not going to get there. So, you know, I put him in arguably top 12, top 10 to 15.
I agree. Yeah.
Would I take Luka over him? Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Would I take, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander over him? Right now, yes. Would I take, you know, obviously LeBron, Steph? Yes. So where am I at? That's four right there. Would I take Anthony Edwards? Yes, that's five. So that's a five right there off the rim. And then you start going through your you know, obviously, would I take him over Embiid? Yes, I would take Tatum over Embiid.
That's surprising. Okay.
Because he's healthy.
Sure.
Because he's healthy.
Sure.
He shows up. He shows up. He puts the work in the offseason. He shows up. I know what his ceiling is. So now we're at, did I include Joker? I didn't. So Joker, I would take Joker over him. Would I take Jamal Murray over Tatum?
Kwame, I got one. Would you say Donovan Mitchell?
No. Donovan Mitchell to me is Jordan. I'll explain to you why. The thing that hurt Jordan Poole was, and you mentioned Peyton Pritchard. I was wrong about Peyton Pritchard. I still think he's much better. But, you know, it is what it is. His play is not warranted me to go out on limb and say he's a good player. Malachi Flynn was another guy. A lot of people don't know. I was high on Malachi Flynn. I watched him get Markelle Fultz work at Washington State, both for true freshmen. I thought Malachi would have a better run in Toronto. It didn't work out. I'll take that hit. I believe that Donovan Mitchell and Bradley Beal are not my fault number guys, meaning they just get their numbers so nobody can say it's their fault they lost. You know, they ain't my fault. I got 30. They ain't my fault we lost. And they don't make the plays necessary to win a game. They don't do the things necessary to be a championship contending team, if you're a championship contending team. We saw that come to fruition in Phoenix. I don't need to belabor that point. Story for another show. We're seeing that come to situation in Cleveland with Donovan Mitchell. Donovan has disappeared with everybody. I think he's got a hand. Another soft tissue injury. Let's do with the soft tissue injuries in April. No, still March. When you got soft tissue injuries in March and April, it's another issue there. They've got a hell of a team. Quality head coach. Piss poor division outside of Milwaukee. Indiana is a regular season team. They're not a playoff team. And they just got good.
Yeah.
Detroit, say less. You know what I mean? Chicago, say less.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, three of the teams in your division are subpar. Indiana just got good, so if you want to include them in there, so be it. But they're another team that's sweet. So Cleveland should be better, and I put Donovan Mitchell down. Jordan Poole needs to adjust. He's trying to be something he's not. I've heard the realm of James Harden's name invoked. I've heard Kevin Johnson's name invoked. Those are guys that went from good teams, role players on good teams, and went to other teams. But Jordan, I'm not ready to give up on Jordan. He's playing well, coming off the bench. I'm not ready to give up on Jordan.
I'm sorry, Kwame. I like Kyle Kuzma as well, but that man, I might be alone on that island. But
I'm ready to give up on Kyle Kuzma.
Okay. I understand that. I understand why.
Kyle Kuzma's a different story, but I'm not ready to give up on that champion, Jordan. Well, I could be wrong on that. You know, it happens to us. But I feel like you put Jordan Poole in a better franchise, better organization. This is a kid that came from the mud, man. He came from the G League.
Yeah.
And he earned those minutes he got. And Gordon Steph is not a champion.
Kind of like a Chris Middleton mold. Chris Middleton kind of took that path. From the G League to the champion, all-star.
Yeah, I would say Middleton maybe a little better. Came from Texas A&M.
Yeah,
from a basketball school. You know, but nevertheless, I get what you're going. But I want to circle it back to
sure.
Because I forgot Giannis. I forgot Dame. Mm-hmm. So now we're at seven. You know, and like I said, I forgot would I take him over Devin Booker? Yes. Would I take him over Durant? No. So now we're at eight.
Yep.
You know, would I take him over Butler? No. Now we're at nine.
You say James Harden?
I wouldn't take him over Kawhi.
Yeah.
So
now
we're at 10.
You might have argument for Paul George.
About what? That's the perfect comparison. I believe he's an Eastern Conference version of Paul George.
Yeah, I like that. I like that.
So if your argument is he's a top 10 player, nah. Your argument is he's between 10 and 15, I'll yield that argument to you. But, and I'm going to take it a little step further. We can debate this. We can discuss this. Pardon the way debate. Discuss this. I believe Boston implodes in the playoffs. I don't think they come out of this.
Is it due to players or coaching in your thought? Like you said, do they lose by six or more or six or less?
That's a great point. Because I just ripped Calipari for 6-point losses.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, I appreciate that. I appreciate that. That's love because that is something I'd say. 6 points or more is players, 6 points or less is coaching. I think it's going to be both, but I'm not saying they're soft.
But they don't have that Marcus Smart. They don't have the enforcer.
I use the phrase when Jason Tatum scores, you feel like he gets bodied by a singer, like the R&B. But they're not. I'm trying to be careful with my words.
Uh-huh.
Miami is, just because Miami's ugly doesn't mean they're tough. But, they play a very, jailhouse, every possession matters style. New York does the same thing. You know, getting Adam Anobi, and I know I mispronounced his name.
Yeah, OG Anobi, yeah.
You know,
I think Precious Achiuwa is a guy that came over from Miami and Toronto.
Yeah.
That helps.
Adding him, you know, and getting Julius Randle back and if they're going to have. Because that's the curse that Boston's going to run into. These teams all have a book to stick on. Like, this team has been together for a while. We were pushed Jaylen Brown left. Wasn't so much they pushed Jaylen Brown left, they just pushed Jason Tatum far right. So now Jaylen Brown is trying to get the ball further and further. So then they added Porzingis to give them another scoring option because they felt like scoring was where they fell short. They added Holiday to give them, you know, they won't question Mizzou in the locker room. Okay, that's great. Marcus Smart was the guy that held everybody accountable. That team was down 3-0. It wasn't just Marcus Smart's fault. So, yeah, it's going to be coaching. I think it's going to be a mixture of coaching and personnel. They're a regular season team. They're this version. There's this generation's Oklahoma City Thunder. You know, they're this not generation's want to go before that. This generation's Cleveland Cavaliers, led by Mark Price
and Brad Daugherty and all those guys. Larry Nance,
exactly.
Senior.
Larry Nance, exactly.
Hot Rod, yeah.
Great regular season team. You know, they're maybe this generation's Chicago Bulls, led by Derrick Rose.
Oh.
Joakim Noah. You know, guys, the teams that. Tremendous regular seasons, but when it comes time to getting over the hump, they just don't have that. And I think Jaylen Brown could have been that, but he's kind of nestled in at that second tier. He believes the press clippings that he's not a number one. Because, see, I think it's top heavy. Feel like Jaylen Brown was your number one, and Tatum was your two. And for some reason, people want Tatum to be that number one. Jaylen Brown rises to the occasion. You're not going to stop him from shooting, if that makes sense.
But Kwame, can I ask a question? And I definitely give it to you, but I guess not. I get what you answered my question before I asked it, but what is it in Jaylen Brown? I love Jaylen Brown's game, all about what he does, but I just don't see it consistently, Kwame. I don't see him rising to that occasion for 5 out of 7 games. And I've seen it, but I don't see it as consistent as what I believe to most people say he'd be better than Tatum. I'm not sure how you see it, though.
I can explain that, and you can check my numbers on this, because if I misspeak, please correct me. In the NBA Finals, I believe he scored more points than Tatum. In the NBA Finals.
That's accurate.
Yeah. In games against top five teams, what I mean by top five, top five in the Western Eastern Conference, he scores more.
Okay.
Now, there's two courts of thought there, because teams are gearing up to stop Tatum. But Tatum's only getting up an average of 13 shots or so. So a shot attempts go down. Good players force the action. There was a great phrase years ago. Kevin Durant is always mad because he had to wait for Russell Westbrook to get him the ball. And I always counted that with saying, what the hell did Larry Bird ever wait to get the ball? What did Dr. J, LeBron James, Kyrie Irving, Luka Doncic, the list goes on of your guys that wait for the ball. They're going to go get it. And they may not shoot it, but damn it, they want to touch it. That's Jaylen Brown. He has that mindset. What happens, and what we see happening is he, in order to be that top tier player, he has to believe it when you're playing against Washington as well as when you're playing against them. You know, the competitive fire will be there forever, but that discipline is what you need in Washington. And he doesn't have that discipline. That's what he's lacking. What I see is a guy that will give you back some effort, give you that competitive fire, will push back, will fight back, but has fell into the nature of his habitat, meaning he's been trained to believe that Hank Tatum is the guy that needs it. That's who the offense needs to go through. That's the guy that's supposed to get the shots. That's the guy we're supposed to get the ball to critical. When in actuality, it needs to be him. But Missoula doesn't have the nerve to do that. I believe you don't get it. That's why he had more points. That's why he had more plays. That's why he got more fouls. Ime didn't give Tatum a chance to disappear. He pushed him to the side.
And you kind of see that what Ime is doing with Jalen Green this year, to your point. You see how his progression.
Yeah, and it's at the expense of Jabari Parker, who was a dude I loved coming out. I love Jabari Parker. I thought he would be a monster by now.
Oh, Jabari Smith. Jabari Smith Jr. Duke, my Duke guy, yeah. Chicago. He's hanging out with me and Kyle Orton. Me and Kyle Orton is with him.
Yeah, there you go. So, yeah, it's at the expense of Jabari Smith. So, you see. see that. One thing about him, Luke, that he won't get credit for, he waited for no man. You either did it or you did not. You know, and you either will or you won't. Jason Tatum won't. It's not a matter. But Jaylen Brown will. You see, it's tough to say that, you know, at this point, you have to. He has to believe. And that's why I feel like Boston's going to implode. Because they don't believe. They're not built for Jaylen Brown. They're built for Jason Tatum. That makes sense?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, that perspective does make sense.
I expected a little more pushback from you, man. You know, I was all geared up. I didn't get any numbers because I expected,
Carmen, I'm not a big numbers guy. I think I love the fact that you, like yourself being a savant, you can just talk the game. I think stats are a lot of times for, you know, people that we see on the networks, but we understand that the game is more than numbers. And we understand. We understand that impact doesn't. Ben Wallace being in the Hall of Fame has nothing to do with his numbers. You know, they came in with Tumble's impact. You know what I mean? So.
I got you. I would say this, and I'll wrap the show with this. You know, as the regular season winds down, Boston is the number one seed. Right now, they're probably going to draw Philly. Maybe Philly creeps up to seven, but if Philly's smart, they'll avoid the one.
Mm-hmm.
But look at Boston and the Philly matchup. And on first glance, I'm like, no way. I don't care if it shows up or not. But there's something about Nick Nurse. I didn't like the hire. I didn't hate him. I didn't hate him. I wasn't excited about it. I look at it now, and there's something about Nick Nurse. It would be a tremendous upset. But if they can get him beat back, and he can be functional, I like Philly beating Boston.
I think Joel Embiid was having a historic season before he got hurt. I think him single-handedly. I can't give you pushback on that. Like you said, the big African, he's giving you a historic season. No? Tyrese Maxey.
Maxey, Oubre. I can't believe I'm actually
going to
say this. It'll be the sum of the team. It's the sum of the team.
Buddy Hill is there to improve the team, right? Hey, Buddy Ball, Oklahoma, baby.
Worst trade in the offseason. Go get Gifford. Go get Drummond.
Yeah.
You go get a shooter. What the hell is Buddy Hill doing? Have you ever seen Buddy Hill do a crossover?
No.
Have you ever seen him cross somebody?
No.
He's a straight line dribbler who gets $40 million a year and is a straight line dribbler. And this general manager got on camera and said, I think it's the best trade of the trade deadline. Yeah, okay. I'm down to still. Then up and down, right? But sure. They got P.J. Washington. Like, you PJ Washington and Daniel Gifford. I don't even know what they give up. Grant Williams?
Right. I think that's it.
I feel like Daryl Morey and Josh Harris don't want to win. They don't want to win.
It was the same thing when Elton Brand was there, right? I mean, Daryl Morey is the common dominator.
Elton Brand's still there, but the only reason why he's still there is because he does the same thing. I feel we're pressed against the brother.
Appreciate it. Yes, yes.
Podcast, wherever you get your podcast platforms. And that is it for this episode of Unparalleled Sports Talk. If you enjoyed the podcast, make sure you like, share, subscribe, whatever your podcast
hit the thumbs up.
I appreciate it. And Theo, as always, we appreciate your time here.
Thank you, Kwame.
Recording stopped.